Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider this evening is the Psalm, Psalm 23. This is Good Shepherd Sunday, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will fear no evil, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is our text. So the Psalm of David, Psalm 23, is very familiar, and it's a favorite of many Christians. That's not too hard to understand why. For the comfort and the promises that are noted in the Psalm do not turn our eyes back to ourselves, but rather they turn our eyes to the person and work of God, especially the work of God in and through Jesus Christ. And this is what we've been focusing on throughout this time of Easter, isn't it? Whether it's the disciples in one place or another who are struggling, wondering what in the world is happening, who are in need of strength and calm in the midst of persecution and threat, or whether they're just confused. We've been hearing this again and again. And the psalmist begins the psalm with this very familiar verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything flows from there. Everything is explained from there. And we don't have time to cover the whole thing tonight. It's a magnificently large psalm, even though it's only a few verses long. So today we're going to take up the psalm with those three assertions that the psalmist makes based on what he knows and what it means to have a shepherd, what it means to have the Lord as my shepherd. He says, first and foremost, I shall not want. We live in a world that is all up in arms about finances and money and economics, and all of those things are important as far as it goes. We get worried. We think if we don't get busy. Now, again, we as human beings can go from one extreme to another. We can become very lazy and sloth-like on the one hand, and we can become way overboard. We can go way overboard in terms of how much we think is on our shoulders to do. But that's because we get all of that mixed up. You see, our jobs, our calling, the things that we are called to do in this life are things that we are to do for others. For God and our neighbor, if you will. And so when God takes and makes you a member of his flock, he has a purpose for you. And as he has this purpose for you, he's not going to send you out and say, take care of yourself. He says, I'm a shepherd, you're a sheep. And of course, we talked about that last night, how unflattering that is. The sheep can't protect themselves. And we could go on with all sorts of other images that people have made about sheep, observations and such. But the text begins, the Lord is my shepherd, and then he makes the declarative statement, I shall not want, because the Lord is for me. He's my shepherd. So how often do you get nervous about not having all that you think you need or want to have? That's a problem for us, isn't it? And it's rooted in the way we look upon God, and it's rooted in the way that we deal with sin. Today you will look around this world, you will turn on the TV, listen to the news, and you will find people who are very much afraid of dying. They're very much afraid of what could happen to them in this life. We've talked about that and we'll come back to it again. But most of the time that happens when they don't understand the perfect love of God. When our sins are hanging about our neck and our guilt is not forgiven, we struggle with fear that punishment will come, or even that our enemies will get the better of us. We're always looking for the train and the light in the tunnel is a train coming at us. We're always looking behind us. In Leviticus, God says, when your sins are heavy upon you, you'll hear the leaves crackling in the dark night, and you'll become afraid, and you'll get the chills running up your spine. I shall not want. And of course, today in our world, we think that if I just think positively, if I just affirm myself and other people affirm me and tell me how good I am, it'll remove from me some of that apprehension. But if you take note of the 23rd Psalm and just think about it for a brief time tonight, one of the first things that you're going to see is that God is gracious, as the text tells us what Christ does. It's a fascinating thing. It says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The psalmist doesn't say, now, okay, I've got my part to do and I better start worrying about this and I better run around. No, he says, he. And all of a sudden, everything starts to get a little bit more settled. I shall not want, because he's the one who, like a good shepherd, will put me down in green pastures, lie me down there, so I can rest and be safe. He leads me beside still waters. Of course, we could go through this and take a good couple hours to describe what that means to a sheep, that he's not by running water. He can drink without necessarily fear of being swept into the water and his wool pulling him down. And of course, all of this leads to this verse here in verse 3. He restores my soul. You see, what we do so many times is we think that the most important thing is getting a job, getting an education, making money, having money in the bank. And we've heard, and I've said it more than once, it's hard not to when you talk about the Good Shepherd, that there is one thing needful. Jesus didn't say many things needful. He said there's one thing needful, one necessary thing. And that is that your soul is restored. We're called to go where Jesus is working so that our soul may be cared for. You see, Jesus doesn't just take care of one thing. And he certainly doesn't ever tell his flock, you take care of the money part, I'll take care of the rest. You get yourself your food and I'll get the rest. No. He says every bit of food, every bit of money, everything you have, God is the giver of every perfect gift. Here he makes clear why we shall not lack. He takes care of all of our needs. He created us. He knit us together in our mother's womb, and he knows what we need to take care of this body and life. Just as he says in Matthew chapter 6, God knows that you need food, and you need drink, and you need clothing, and you need shelter. He knows that you need those things. So you don't have to worry about them ever. Not once. And every time you do worry, you should be saying, Lord, have mercy, forgive me, for I am worrying. The Lord does not treat us as if this is the most important thing. He reminds us, even as he reminded the devil, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But he also said it in a negative way. Perhaps this is a good text, or a good text to put in our minds when we think about this. It's Mark 8, 36 and 37. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, if you lose your soul, you now will never be satisfied with food or clothing or shoes or house or home. You will never be satisfied. There's too much to tie in here. There's a lot of things back in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, and also in Jeremiah and Isaiah, it tells us. In fact, in Habakkuk, it says that the proud man has a sick soul, and he's never satisfied. What will you give in exchange for that? You see, when Jesus feeds us and cares for us as a good shepherd cares for his sheep, he cares for the whole creature. And if the soul is lost, the creature is dead. It can produce nothing good. It will not have a good life, a beautiful life. He restores my soul, he says. And of course, the beautiful part of that text is it goes right back to baptism, part four. It goes right back to the cross. It goes right back. It means that he turns us away from sin, away from worry, away from what's on our mind, and he turns our minds to Christ. It's that notion of repentance. He restores my soul. How often? Daily. Daily. Because that's what I need. That's what I want. You've heard me say it once, I'll say it again. Psalm 139 at the end of the psalm. Test and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the ways of everlasting life. Lead me on the paths of righteousness. What does that mean? That means that I don't trust myself. Righteousness means that I'm walking as a righteous child of God, and I'm sure that God is going to take care of me because of Christ, in Christ, and through Christ's work on the cross for my sin and his resurrection. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and I will always be reminded and know and set, rest, and feed on the notion that in God's eyes, because of Christ, I am righteous. I've been baptized into Christ. My soul has been restored to me. It's healed. It's whole. We come to see Christ for who he is. He will lead us in righteous paths, that is, living in repentance and forgiveness. That's what Jesus told the disciples to go out and preach. And we forget so often. As I said to you before about the whole notion of the office of the keys, there are really Christians in churches today who do not believe that's a good thing to do, to call a person to repentance. And yet the Bible tells us in Luke 15 that all heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. But this is the whole shape of our life as we walk with the Good Shepherd. Luther makes it clear. So these Christians want to send the songs and the rejoicing out of heaven, maybe because they're too worried about losing the person that's lost already. You see, when you come to believe that he's restored your soul, that he will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake, you will fear no evil. What about the virus? What about cancer? What about any other frailty that we have to deal with? What about the economy? What about, you could say, what about 1,000 times, and the psalmist's answer is still the same. I will fear no evil. Why? Well, we heard it earlier. Perfect love casts out fear. That is most certainly true. And that must be the love of our Savior for the flock. For it's not my perfect love. I don't have perfect love. I'm a sinner. And the thing about it is that love came to abide with us. Love took on human flesh. Love came to walk with us, and love says that he will never leave us or forsake us. Nothing can separate us from his love. For love, the good shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep, and he has taken it back up, and he is near. That's what the psalmist says. I don't have to be afraid, for Christ is near. Christ, who fought against all of my enemies, will keep me perfectly safe. I don't have to be afraid. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. There's nothing. This is a huge amount of sermon. There's nothing I can do to explain this part of the text in a brief way, because it's so beautifully large and magnificent. The rod and the staff. These are law and gospel, and they keep us safe against lies and against death. They expose the wolves in sheep's clothing, and they strengthen the sheep and draw us near with the hook, the shepherd's hook, the crook, draws us near when things get dangerous, when the waters get riled up. That is what the shepherd wants. He wants us to draw near to him. Thy rod and thy staff, the law and the gospel, comfort me. Not because I like the law and it makes me feel good, but because I know that this one is turning me, restoring me, healing me, my sin-sick soul. And he protects me and he calls me back from walking on that path which will lead to life among the wolves and the lions and the snakes. He exposes false teachers, and he fixes my heart and my eyes on the shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. We like to think, and this is unfortunately a caricature of Christianity, which says, oh, we can't have any of these dirty, nasty, sinful people around us. We have to have a pure bunch. We'll shun people. We'll push them away. No. Mm-mm. No. In the midst of our enemies, Christ prepares his meal, even as he served that meal on the night in which he was betrayed. A betrayer sitting at the table with him, who actually asked him, "Is it I, Lord? You have said so. Go and do it quickly." The Lord is not afraid. In fact, he says nothing. Nothing can get away and get in between my love. And when I set my table in the midst of your enemies, there's nothing your enemies can do to prevent the good that I want to happen. As you receive my body and blood, as you are strengthened through this great meal that I lay before you. And every other word of God, in the midst of my enemies, even as Jesus did during his earthly ministry, so also today. And then he uses this lovely image. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runneth over. And I can't help but thinking of John 7, where it says, out of this person, rivers of living water will flow. My cup runneth over. The Holy Spirit, the anointing is a sign that the Holy Spirit has come upon me. Jesus says, and Peter preached it this way in Acts, the promise is for you and your children, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and take the words of Jesus and teach you and cause you to grow into the image of his Son. We live as the Spirit brings life and salvation to us. The riches of God's presence overwhelm us, and we abide in goodness and mercy. For that's what God is shaping and forming us into, that which is good, restoring us to what we were before the fall. And it's mercy that does it. He looks at us as we stumble, and we stumble into fear and into sin. And in mercy and pity, he reaches down and picks us up. Though a man falls seven times, yet still God picks him up. We daily sin much, Luther says, and yet God daily forgives us much. The Lord, as the Lord restores, he restores us to the image of God. There is a goodness there, and he heals us in his mercy. And then the last thing the psalmist says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will not lack. I will not want. I will not fear. I'll have no fear. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are pilgrims. We're a flock. We're journeying home. And the Lord will bring us home, as all of this makes clear. There is no enemy who can prevent us from receiving our inheritance. There is no enemy that can starve us on the way. Rather, the Lord walks with us as the Good Shepherd, and we hear his voice, and we follow. We know his voice. We will dwell in that place which he has prepared for us, as we will hear next week. That place that he is preparing for his flock, for his bride. That feast that he is preparing. That when we get there, just like on the night of the Last Supper, he will get up and serve the feast in heaven. For it is to God's joy that he serves and blesses his children. So this night we've heard a very familiar text again, and it does us good to hear it. It's for it fixes our hearts and minds on what God is doing, on the gospel, on Christ. And tonight we are restored again. Our soul is restored as we hear these words. And we live new lives, both here now and forever. That's what we believe. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.